Hey everyone, welcome to the Naughty Shaman Podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Carlisle, and I can't wait to dive in to a world where the sacred meets the wild and keeps things totally real. In each episode, we are going to dive into what it truly means to live a radiant life that is unapologetically real. And if you're ready to get started, so am I. Hey, hey, Luminous Warriors. It is Natalie Carlisle, and I am so grateful that you are tuning in to the Naughty Shaman Podcast tonight. In this episode, I'm really excited to talk about this episode. It was inspired from some storytelling over the holidays and some wonderful clients. And we're going to talk about manifesting. How do you manifest? What is all this manifesting crap? Da, 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 da. And I'm going to share with you my experiences and opinions on this whole topic of how to manifest the life you dream of. So let's get started. What I love about this whole manifesting thing is that half the time I'll be scrolling on Instagram or Facebook, and there's inevitably some guy, and I'm sorry, but it's always some guy, and he's on some yacht or he's on some fancy place with a gorgeous gal, and just like so much material wealth is celebrated in these stories. And then I did this amazing thing and this accomplishment and studied with this amazing person and that amazing person and climbed 10 mountains and did all these things. And it's just like, for me, I experience this as the peacock feathers, right? Like, hey, look at me, I'm good. Look at me, I'm good. Pick me as a mate. So I call this whole thing peacocking. And so there's a lot of peacocking in the world of teaching people how to create a life that they love, a life that they dream of. And I used to fall for that. I used to fall for that promise of you can create anything in your life. And if you're not creating a life that you love, then you're not doing it right. I never quite sat well with me, but I learned early on in my life that everything was my fault. So it sort of felt like home. And since I've evolved and worked in this world now for many decades, many years, I have come into a new relationship with creation and with manifesting. So one of the things that I find that also I find out of alignment for me now, as we talk about this world of manifesting and creation, what we're really talking about is creating. How do we create a life that we love and a life that's fulfilling and satisfying? So my other take on this now is that I love when people are working so hard to manifest. They are praying. They are doing ceremonies every day. They are visualizing 24/7. They've talked about it. They've done vision boards. They speak it. They don't speak negative thoughts anymore. They're working, striving, trying to create. And there's an energy to striving that I have found counterproductive to creating what you want. I'm going to share with you two methods of creation that I love, and they're both important. One we tend to overuse in our culture, and one we do not use enough in our culture. And for me, I've characterized these as masculine and feminine energies, not male, female. It's not about gender. This is just different kinds of energy, like yellow and blue or red and purple. But I'm going to go ahead and say masculine and feminine because they are complementary opposites. In Peru, they have a concept called Yananti Misinti, and sometimes it's called other things. In the Tao, they'll talk about yin and yang and all these different things. And so this idea of complementary opposites is not new anywhere. But to take a look at how masculine energy creates, this is what we're used to. You can get advice on this from any person with an infomercial in social media. And it is essentially vision. Envision the future. Envision what you want. Envision what you need. And then create a game plan, a plan that starts with step one here today, and then goes to step two, step three, step four. And then there are milestones along the way. And then there are checkpoints and measurements, and you go in this very linear, very masculine. Remember, we talked about masculine energy and feminine energy, very masculine, linear way of creating. And this works. This is a very powerful and necessary energy as we birth things or bring things from idea into reality. It's one way to delegate, to involve others, to get a team around it, to build momentum. But it's insufficient. It's not the only way that we can create. When I started to do some self-inquiry about my creation process, I realized and discovered that my creation process is much, much different. And while I use these tools of planning and visualizing and milestoning and measuring from time to time, it is not the end-all be-all. Because when you're talking about creating soulful products or soulful offerings into the world, soulful services, and you're not making, you know, Nike tennis shoes, there's another way to create that I find most women that I speak with identify with it, and many, many, many men. But it's this idea of, it's a metaphor of imagine giving birth. So I find that one day when you're, this is the feminine way to do the creating, right? See if you relate. I would love to hear about this in the comments. But one day you're walking around and nothing's really on your mind. It's kind of blank and wandery and jumping and jumping, and nothing's really sticking. It's kind of a pleasant experience in your own mind and in your own being, right? And there's an openness that occurs in our being. We are available to energies, the greater cosmos, God, spirit. We're available to this higher information, if you will, because we're more open in these moments. We don't have to be meditating. We can be riding an elevator. We can be driving in the car. That's where it happens for me. In the shower, listening to our favorite music, walking on the beach, another place it happens for me. Walking in the woods, catching my drift. All of a sudden, there's an idea. Like, oh, wait, this is a really interesting thought. And it starts to circle around in your energy field, and it's swimming, and it's with you, and it's in you, and you're playing with it, almost like, you know, turning it this way and turning it over that way and seeing, could this idea work in this situation? What about that? And are there other ideas that connect to it? And so there's this very organic, a little bit messy kind of wondering that happens, curiosity about this idea or thought. And so what happens then, I call this the impregnation. This is when spirit is like, kaboom, sperm meets egg, idea goes, starts to divide into itself and starts to create more and more cells, more and more energy, more and more life inside of you. So this idea gets bigger and bigger inside of you, and it becomes more detailed. The vision of it becomes more detailed, more real, and it gets exciting, and you can feel the little flutters of this idea kind of moving your energy, exciting it, keeping you awake at night, keeping you staring out the window a little longer, keeping you writing in your journal a little longer. And this is when the idea comes to life and starts to generate a life of its own and take on twists and turns that you cannot even imagine yet. This is the incubation period. This is the growing period of this idea. And then one day, you just start to sweat and shake, and it's all you can think about. It's all that's caught in your throat, caught in your body. Your body is almost swollen to the point of, if I don't make this idea real, if I don't put it out into the world, then I am going to start getting really, really uncomfortable in my own skin. And this is how you know you're in labor. There's an idea that wants to be birthed through you, and you better hang on tight, get some leather to bite on or whatever it is you need, and get ready for this idea to come out into the world. And it takes effort to come out into the world, and it cannot be stopped. It's an idea that inside of you has taken on a life of its own, and it wants to be born. It wants to be created. And so I love this idea of imagine birthing an idea. And if any of you have seen birth on TV or had it happen with you or around you, those things come out super gross and messy and imperfect. They're like little shriveled up old men is what every single baby looks like. And they have the white goo all over them and red goo and gray goo. There's a lot of goo. And it's just like, whoa, at first. It's sometimes not love at first sight. It's a little bit like shock and awe. And then, you know, the nurse or somebody takes the baby, weighs it, measures it, makes sure it's breathing, and they kind of wipe off that little baby idea. And like, oh, look, there are blue eyes in there. Oh, look at all that dark hair. And now we start to see the idea for what it is, for how it is beginning in the world. And I think what many creators miss if they only create in a masculine fashion is this idea of allowing an imperfect idea to be born. Nothing. I mean, let's just take babies. When baby humans are born, they are so far from perfect. They can't talk. They can't walk. They can't feed themselves. They are so far from what we would say a fully functional idea, a fully functional adult. Not at all. So these ideas, when they're born out of us in this way, this explosive way, it's kind of cooperating with the divine energies, then these things need to be nurtured. And, you know, some people have, you know, idea after idea after idea. It's like they have a whole litter of ideas, right? A whole litter of puppies that they got to wash up and clean. And that's another metaphor that I love to use with some of my students, because not every idea is going to be, you know, the puppy that you pick up and wash off and take home. Not every idea is for you to nourish. So if you're feeling overwhelmed because you have a nice, you know, like an idea factory in you, and I know many gifted people who are just idea factories, and then they feel this obligation, this pressure to take all of it and make it real. And then if they can't make it all real by the time they're 30, then they feel like failures. And that's not the way that nature works. Not every idea is for you, but one or a couple of those ideas are going to light your soul on fire. And those are the ones that you nurture and raise and let be imperfect and try and learn and try and learn many, many mistakes to learn to walk, fall down, learn to walk, fall down. And then when there's a little maturity to the idea, like a proof of concept in a way, then you can begin more and more of this masculine planning. But there's this divine birth in creating that very few people actually talk about when they talk about manifesting. And I don't know why, because for me, it's the most powerful. And what I notice is that it happens when we are not looking for it. It happens when we are not looking for it. The very thing our soul needs, you know, whether it's more money, a lover, or whatever, the very thing our soul needs starts. It comes to us. We get an idea. We write that book. We make more money. There's something to that magic, to that allowing spirit to co-create with you that I sometimes miss when I hear people just do the masculine side of planning. So in concert with one another, we have this whole creation process embodying the unity of the masculine and feminine way of creating. Because in reality, we know that there are masculine energy, you know, and feminine energies. And when they come together, they do create. They create all kinds of stuff, humans, deer, you know, whales, dolphin, all kinds of stuff, low pressure, high pressure, create storms. There's all kinds of creation possible when these complementary opposites come together in union. So back to manifesting. Pet peeves about these manifesting with their white linen pants on these yachts in Greece. I'm just like, what? It's not about the object of our desire. If we are trying to manifest a new washing machine. It's not like a matter of chasing it with your prayers, with your vision boards, with your whatever. Because when we create that, I mean, let's walk that through, right? Like, I'm going to create this with meditations and vision boards, and I'm going to do all these things because I want, because I want, because I want, because I need, because if I don't get it, I will lose something important to me. And I need it because I lack it. So 90% of what people are trying to manifest in the world, they're approaching from a place of fear and place of lack. And I get it. I've manifested like that. A couple times I've gotten lucky. However, the times when the creation of my life coming into wholeness, fullness, abundance, when that happens, it's never because I wrote 25 things and manifested 24 hours a day. I wasn't even trying. Right? So I got curious about that. So then what's going on really there? And what I find is that first, there's this place. And it's a way of being. It's not a place. It's not an object of desire. It's not a boat. It's not a lover. It's not a whatever. None of those things will bring this state of being to you. You have to cultivate it inside of yourself because of the way you see the world and the way you see yourself. So this has everything to do with perception. And perception is, for me, one of the like superpowers that shamans possess. A good shaman is going to be able to flip over a phenomena, an event, a conversation, flip it around in their mind and see 100 different perspectives. This is how infinite the shaman's mind can become, one who's practiced, one who's been diligent about this. And so cultivating that perspective of yourself and of the world means everything. And the first step to manifesting in this more feminine way is about coming into a state of being that is what I might call a state of awe or wonder. Right? Like today we had hurricane force winds here at the beach. So it's a big storm, big nor'easter that came in. And I went down this morning to kind of see what was happening in the ocean because I love storms. And I couldn't go last night because it was dangerous. So I went this morning early and the waves were gigantic, right? And the only people out there were me and a couple other goofballs and some tow-in surfers. And it was epic, just epic to see the ocean in all of her power. And I was in a state of wonder and awe, like, so that's like a ripe playing field for the energies of creation to come on in and start working in you. The state of being of wonder and awe also has an element of surrender to it, because we realize that in the great cosmos, we are but a speck that creates this beautiful sandy beach that we're all standing on, or a different metaphor, a note that is sung in the great cosmic orchestra of life, but an important note, but just a note, right? And that surrender to something larger than us is such an open way of being in the world. And so many people, because of so much fear right now, are closing up. They're closing up their hearts. They're closing their eyes. And they're only seeing through tunnel vision the things that already make sense to them based on what they believe. So few people right now are widening their perspectives and allowing in information. And with a narrow perspective like this, it's very hard to achieve a state of wonder and awe. Very easy to achieve a state of fear and scarcity. And so be mindful. My recommendation is to be mindful of how you're viewing things, of how you are seeing the world and how you are seeing yourself. Mm-hmm. Because it's all just a mirror for what's happening inside of you. So this is a great point to begin your self-inquiry if you haven't started yet. So the first step to manifesting in this more feminine way is to become open through moods of wonder and awe, of surrender, of deep, deep reverence and gratitude. These things tend to open the heart where that idea can make its way in. Most people that you'll talk about when they have had success at manifesting talk about, you know, I remember asking spirit or having a conversation and a prayer with spirit about that, and then I forgot. And then all of a sudden it showed up on my doorstep. Most people who are really operating the flow kind of forget that this is something that they were wanted, because there is a no attachment to the outcome or to that my happiness is dependent upon this object. Is your happiness dependent upon money, object of desire? Is your happiness dependent upon the size of your house? Is your happiness dependent upon the salary that you make or your title? Because those are all objects of our desire, and they create fleeting happiness and can trick us, because we can chase that all of our lives and we will never feel satisfied because there's always one more to chase. So none of that will create and build lasting state of awe or joy or wonder. Okay, so first step, open, awe, joy, wonder, almost like an innocence. And the second step that I find is then to allow that allowing the receiving of this idea or this mood, this vision of your life to come in and move its way through your physical body, through your mental body, through your emotional body. And let this vision become so real that you can taste it on your tongue, feel it on your face, and imagine your life not with an object. Again, it's not about the object when we're manifesting, because we want the object so that we can feel blank. And so if we want to feel good enough, proud of ourselves, beautiful, vibrant, it's the feeling, the state of being that we're manifesting. Does this make sense? I'm hoping this is connecting to some of you out there. And I know it will, because manifesting is not about the objects. It's about the state of being that we think those objects are going to create for us. But what I love is that spirit knows there are billions of ways to create that state of being for you. And so what I love is this more open process of allowing spirit to come in. Spirit knows that I want to feel abundant and joyful and gorgeous and amazing, because who doesn't? So when I open myself up to spirit, then I'm expecting those ideas, those words, those opportunities, those people to come to me, because I'm open and available to them. And I know spirit gets me. We've been together a long time, since before I was born, right? So being open is so key. And then the second phase is allowing that. Imagine yourself receiving it and feeling that life of abundance, of grace, of beauty, of creativity. Imagine that life and how you feel in it. And when you can feel that life on the tip of your tongue and the tip of your fingers, then you have dialed up a powerful force in the universe, because our emotions and our moods have more power than our minds. Mm-hmm. You know this. Have you ever lost your temper? I mean, like, our anger can take over all rational thought. Love can deliciously take over rational thought. Our emotions are so powerful. And so when we learn to be friends with them, to welcome them into our physical experience, then we are working with something truly sacred, sacred energies in the universe. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of stories. Let me check my notes and see if there's anything else that I wanted to share about that two-step process. Really complicated, right? Open up, receive. Easy to say, difficult to practice, but you can practice it in many, many ways. And I'll get to that at the end. But first, let me tell you these two stories. One is from a client and one is from my son. I'll tell this client story first. I was talking with this lovely woman not long ago, and we've known each other for years and we've worked together for years. She's an incredible healer in her practice and what she offers in the world. But we were talking about manifesting and just joking, you know, like you do in a conversation. And so the very last thing she said to me was the funniest thing that had ever happened in this journey of creating your life is that she and her husband had two cars. Both kids had gone off to college and they had two cars, and one broke down and was stuck in the shop, and they were debating whether or not to fix it because it was kind of an older one. And then the second car all of a sudden just stopped working. And so they were feeling tired of having to take these older cars to get them fixed, to do this, to do that. Neither of them were working. So they were borrowing a car to do the things they needed to do. And one night over dinner, you know, they just kind of looked at each other and were like, we really need a car. We really need a new car. Don't know how that's going to happen right now, but man, we need a new car. Went about their life. One car's at the shop, kind of stuck there. One car's literally in the front yard, kind of stuck there because that's where it died. And off they went about their life. 4 days later, do you know what happened? A car driving down the street, skid off the street directly in front of their house and totaled the car that was sitting in the front yard. What? And then they were just standing in there like, oh my God, did you see what? That's unbelievable. And then they looked at each other like, oh my gosh, we just told the spirit that we needed a new car a couple days ago. Oh my gosh. That it's the innocence of that. Like, man, you know, we could use a new car. And then off they went about their life. No complaining, no drama, no pray, car, visualize, tape it all around your room. No. It was a heartfelt conversation. And then they were like, well, let's see what happens. Don't know how it's going to happen, but let's see. So they were open, almost in this childlike wonder. And then there it was, a brand new car. Isn't that hilarious? I love those stories so much. So many stories I've collected. But one of my favorite stories is about my son, Keller. He's 17 now, absolutely amazing, going to the University of New Hampshire. And when he was a little guy, you know, I was a shamama when they were just wee babes. And so I was having a shaman fire and I was doing them on the full moon and the new moon. And I was doing all this stuff because I loved it. And it was outside. And I would even have fires during the day. You know, when I was home with the kids, if we were like, what are we going to do today? I'd be like, let's build a fire. So we had so many bonfires at our place in Connecticut. And I called them shamama fires because it'd start with a sacred fire and end in marshmallows. So it was just perfect way to grow up in my mind. And so the kids are running around gathering sticks. My daughter's literally painting leaves to match the fall leaves that are starting to fall from the. So she's taking green leaves and painting them with watercolors. It was the best day. And I had been tucking the kids in a couple of nights earlier. And my son said to me, man, I really wish we had a cat. We have a dog, but we really wish we had a cat. And I'm like, yeah, but mommy's allergic to cats, so I don't know about cat, but I'm so glad we have our dog, Buddha. Off we go. So then we have this fire, and it's a beautiful fall day, and, you know, my daughter's like all into it. My son's like, ugh, shaman fire. And I said, hey, just grab the stick and anything, you know, you're praying for or you want to create, you can just blow it in the stick and toss it in the fire. And so, you know, my daughter's kneeling at the fire. She was such a little shababy, kneeling at the fire and like, oh, thank you for mommy and daddy. Like she was so into it. It was so beautiful. You know, I want to, whatever it was, you know, like a bike or something like that. And off into the fire it went. And then my son, in the middle of sword fighting all these imaginary foes, he comes over with a stick and he blew into it and was making a prayer about, boy, he wished he had a cat. And then I was like, oh, yeah, he told me that the other day. I go to Peru and on my way back, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get my son a big stuffed cat because then it's like his dream came true from the fire and I'll be a good mom and it won't be like an allergy cat. And isn't that a great idea? I'm going to make the magic happen for him, right? How arrogant. Anyway, this was my thinking. I'm going to make the magic. I'm going to get this airplane cat and it's going to be like, oh, fire made the cat happen, right? So I'm planning to fake my son's manifestation. Awesome. So I go home and I'm like, yay, candy bars for everybody. And then I'm like, look, a cat. And he's like, eh. And I was like, oh, it didn't work. That night, so I get home from Peru. That night, my husband at the time coming home from work. Now listen to this. He worked in downtown Hartford. It was like a nor'easter there. And so it was torrential rain, high winds, worked downtown Hartford, got in his car from the garage, like the parking garage, drove to another building where they were having some board meeting at the other side of town. And so he went out in this torrential rain then to leave that meeting. And he heard this, he looked under the car and he sees this like little cat kind of like walking around, this little kitten. And so he pulled this cat out. Cat's like, ch-ch-ch-ch, and he dropped him because he was like, damn, he was going to take him to the vet or something because it was just like a lost kitten. And so the cat scratched him. He dropped him just a couple inches. It wasn't traumatic because he was kneeling on the ground. And off the cat ran. Cat ran under the car, pouring down rain. He's like, good, it ran home. No problem. He looked and looked and didn't see the cat. Drove 30 miles north during this torrential rainstorm on the highway, going over 60 miles an hour, drove 30 miles north to have another meeting, drove back to Hartford, 30 miles, same storm, it's like a 24-hour storm, and then drove another 20 miles back to our house out in the country. So I don't know how many miles it is, but a lot. And at 11 o'clock at night, after the kids are in bed, we're sitting on the couch and we hear, you guessed it, meow. And I was like, what is that? And I'm looking and behind, looking out front, can't find the sound. Go into the garage, meow. Hear this little tiny meow. This cat had crawled up and like nestled itself under all this machinery near the engine block. Not the engine block, but near, I forget what it was, near under the axle. Like there was some little box around, I don't know the words for cars, but it was like up under the car near the axle, covered in black grease. And he was just clinging onto this pole for life. He was like catatonic, literally catatonic, this cat. So this baby kitty was just freaked out and hanging out underneath this thing. I tried to get my hands up there, scratch, whatever, raw salmon, nothing would get this cat out. Finally got a hold of his tail, pulled him out, and he was just shaking. And his eyes were like this. He didn't sleep. So we took him to the vet the next day. And this cat, the doctor, the vet was like, I don't know how this cat is alive. Like he drove on the highway, hanging on underneath this car, going over 60 miles an hour for about 80 miles or more. Crazy. So when the kids come home, they see this cat in a box who's covered in grease. And Keller goes, oh, it's my cat. And he goes, I knew you were coming, little guy. I mean, literally, kid makes a prayer, could care less. I mean, literally, he could give two shits. He's just like, tosses it in the fire. He doesn't even think about that until all of a sudden the universe delivers via 80 miles and a rainstorm, a cat right to his bedroom door. Impresionante, right? So I love taking lessons from these stories because there is an innocence to them, a non-attachment to these stories. Keller was perfectly happy without a cat, perfectly enjoying his life without a cat, and thought it'd be cool to have a cat and then let go of the outcome. Maybe he'll get a cat. Maybe he'll never have a cat. He let it go. He didn't even think of it anymore after that. And it found him. What's meant for us finds us. What is meant for us finds us. And I find that if we're having to push and try and push and try, it may not be for us. So, in your manifesting, I offer that you switch it to creating and create. Get deep with your creation and understand that the objects you're desiring, and objects are cool. I love makeup. I love getting nice clothes. I love all those objects. They're super fun to play with. And your happiness and my happiness doesn't depend on them, right? Your state of being, you can create by shifting how you look at yourself in the world. You have that power. It's free. Everyone has that. The price you have to pay is that you have to be willing to let yourself have been wrong before. You have to let yourself have been narrow before, and you have to allow yourself to grow. You have to allow yourself to open to things you have never even thought of before. So I'm offering this little bit of magic for this like anti-manifesting idea. It's manifesting, but not manifesting. Because manifesting, every time I think of anyone saying, well, I'm manifesting, I'm thinking, oh God, somebody's wishing for a yacht and they're writing it down and putting it in the freezer or some shit. And I'm like, this is just not what I think is the heart of what we're meant to manifest, what we're meant to truly create. What we're here, I think, to truly create is a new state of being together. How we are human together on the planet is what has to change. That's what's damaging everything. We don't need arguably more stuff. We have a shit ton of stuff. We're not happier. We're killing everybody every chance we get, right? So there's something about how we can be human together that feels really important in what we create. And we have to cultivate that inside of ourselves first. How do we show up in partnerships, in collaborations, in conversations with strangers, in conversations with loved ones? We get to influence and control how we show up. How open can we be in those moments? That's up to us. I feel a sneeze. Gracious. Sorry about that. Speaking of the cat allergies. So my cat allergies got better after 2 weeks of complete misery. I got better and occasionally get a sneeze or two. So anyway, happy creating, my friends. Don't forget the masculine way of creating, so important. And prior to that, often if you observe yourself, there is this feminine, uncontrollable, wild, organic, idea creation, this penetration of ideas into you that starts to manifest and germinate and be born through you. And take pleasure in both of those creative processes because they weave together so perfectly. And enjoy it. Enjoy. Amaze yourself. Give yourself permission to be in that wonder and awe and gratitude. All of those states of being are so open. And this is when we start moving and working with the energy of the creation that we live in, or that we are simultaneously co-creating as we live it. You never know when you're talking to the Nadi Shaman. So thank you, team. It has been my pleasure to talk to you, Luminous Warriors. This is Natalie Carlisle. Thanks for listening to this podcast. It means everything to me. I love getting emails or texts from you about what worked, what was wild, suggestions. I welcome them all. And we have some new courses coming up. So check out our brand new website at naughtyshaman.com. Can't miss us. We have all of the upcoming 2024 courses, trainings, Dharma School, and a whole bunch of mastery classes, whole bunch of introductory classes coming up. So check us out at the website. And thank you again. You rock, Luminous Warriors. Keep the faith. Thanks for tuning in to Naughty Shaman, where we like to keep the sacred a little bit wild and totally real. If you're hearing this message, you've listened to the entire episode, and for that, we are so grateful. Please reach out to us. Let us know what topics you'd like to see covered in our future episodes. Get in touch in the comments because we love to hear from you. And you can reach us on social media.